Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I see a face that I don't know, so are you new?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do some introductions then. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Marie.
Wendy.
Ellie.
Jeffrey.
Karin.
Samuel.
Esther.
Judy.
So, welcome, Judy. And how did you hear about this floating Zendo?
I saw it online.
Okay.
And I have gone to the Zen Center. I live in San Francisco, but I come to San Jose twice a week to take care of my granddaughter. And I look to see if there are any Zen Centers. So.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm Carolyn, and I'm sitting in for Angie, who guides the floating Zendo. She's not here tonight, but she's usually here. So Angie asked if I would be interested in speaking about posture, and I said I would. It's the foundation of our practice. Shiken Taza, particularly of our Soto Zen practice, but of all meditation practice in the Buddhist traditions, all of them that I know, the main ones, have sitting meditation as a very important part of the practice. And with Soto Zen, we are especially devoted to Zazen. That's just Shiken Taza, just sitting. We have a few forms of bowing and chanting, but we don't do, when we give our legs a break and do a little walking. But we don't have a lot of other things to occupy us. And it's kind of one of Dogen's geniuses, in my view, that he rediscovered, and then put it in the beautiful language that he uses, rediscovered the simplicity of practice, of just sitting, Shiken Taza. And he has a whole wonderful little treatise, which I made copies of to pass out at the end of our discussion, called the Fukan Zazenji. And we have studied it in the past in this group. And have you all studied it recently? Have you studied that, Wendy? Or?
It's been several years.
Yes. Okay. Well, since it is the foundation, it's always timely, but really nice to pass out a copy for you all, of those who haven't looked at it recently. The copy that I made a copy of was San Francisco Zen Center translation, which is very, many of the translations are alike because it's a short and precise treatise or talk that Dogen gave. So since this is a foundation, I'd like to just pick out one piece of what Dogen said from here, and recommend that you really read this and sort of take it into your practice or into your reflections, as well as into your body. But he says at a certain point, the Zazen I speak of is not learning meditation. It is simply the Dharma gate of repose and bliss. So, I mean, that's really beautifully simple. But he does have very practical advice and from his experience of what one does in Zazen, in Shiken Taza. And he points in many ways, which I'm going to try to do as well, to the embodiment that is Zen practice, particularly. Any meditation practice is an embodiment, but sometimes it can get very philosophical or abstract, which are also part of, like we just finished discussing some rather philosophical and wonderful different viewpoints on the Heart Sutra, but that's in a way bringing in the cognitive part of us. But the actual simplicity of practice is that it's an embodiment. So how do we do this? So there are recommendations which Dogen covers, and which other people also have discovered and maybe elaborated on or made commentaries on. And I will speak mainly from my own practices in doing body activities such as yoga and postural work. And so I will speak what I've learned. And I will also point out to you a book that Angie recommended when we did study the Fukan Zazenji, which is a book by a man named Will Johnson. And it also is a beautifully simple, short, 100-page comment called The Posture of Meditation. And Will Johnson has practiced in all the major Buddhist traditions, including Zen, Tibetan, and insider, early Buddhism. So he has a lot of practical experience. And he has also been a body worker. And in fact, he founded a body foundation up in Canada. He's done Rolfing and Alexander, and I think a couple of others that I don't remember. But his book is worth looking out if you are the type of person who working at finding, if you're the type of person who likes to get into the sort of the practical nitty-gritty aspects of embodiment in meditation. So one thing that struck me when we discussed this here with Angie was that there's a phrase in Fukan Zazenji that says, just put your nose in line with your navel and your ears in line with your shoulders. And I thought, well, that sounds sort of easy. I have really good posture because I've been doing yoga and et cetera. But then I started to realize, well, maybe there's something a little bit more to this. And I think that for me, it's good to remember that, as we always say in Buddhism, that as everything changes, our posture changes and our body, our place and our body changes. And even moment to moment and day to day, but sometimes, you know, we get injuries or we do a particular strenuous activity or sport, and then that all affects actually how we sit. So it's really kind of being an awareness of our body. So how do you find this this axis where we are both express the vertical and the horizontal, so that we're completely grounded and at one with our practice. So we allow bliss to enter us, and we can experience bliss, and we allow ourselves to relax, to be in repose. So I've found a few things for that, and these might be things you may not be interested in trying them, and there's no reason that you have to at all, but it's just things that I found helpful to me. Because sometimes I get off balance for a while. I couldn't sit at all on the ground, and now I can. So, you know, things change. For a while I sat in a chair. Then you have to find, how do you sit on the ground? How do you sit in the chair? But there are a few general things that go for everything. Dogen has more in his text. But one is having your knees below your hips. So that, whether you're in a chair, and I see everyone's pretty much getting that, having some support so that you're cantilevered forward. You know, furniture is not designed with much ergonomic awareness as a rule, and it seems to be the bucket chairs, especially anything cool. Those are always the most uncomfortable one. At one time, I was doing some posture work because of old injuries, and with a sport clinic, sort of a doctor who is also an acupuncturist, and she said, "I can always tell my clients who have the worst problems and are in the worst pain, they drive the most expensive cars. I can guess what model BMW they're driving or what model, whatever." So that's not to say you can't drive an expensive car, but just to notice that you might, just to be aware that that affects your posture. And in general, our culture affects our posture because we spend a lot of time leaning forward with our necks forward, or our hands on the wheel forward, and even if we have cars that you can adjust the steering wheel and etc. We don't spend a lot of time with our ears in line with our shoulders and our nose in line with our navel. So this from Dogen, you're just sitting down and just settling into your posture, having your mudra, which also helps, and close to your body, which helps keep you with this nose to navel and ears to shoulders. That's all really helpful. Dogen suggests also going from side to side just to settle in so that you can sit. He actually uses the word, it's translated in most translations as unmoving. But the body actually moves all the time because of breathing. Because of breathing, the body is making subtle movements all the time. So you can do that. Another thing that I find helpful and learned from a meditation teacher who had a Zen practice is to also, whether you're in a chair or in the cushion, at the beginning just lean forward and then settle back and settle in. Another one that Angie mentioned a few weeks ago from another posture teacher is to just to get the shoulders back, because our shoulders are so often forward because of actions we do, is to just lift them up slightly one at a time, and then up, back, forward, up, forward, and then back. And so, and I think she mentioned also the big movement is back, so forward, up, and then back. And so that opens your chest and expands it, so the breathing can happen very easily. And breathing through your nose is Dogen's recommendation, and he's very clear about that. But where you breathe through your nose, that's what feels comfortable for you. For many years, I breathe through the belly, and that can be very comfortable. But I find actually that tends to pull me out, and this was a period of discovery over after several years. So I actually like to do chest breathing. So breathing fully and completely, but it's up to you. It's to experiment with what really works for you. And if you feel, and you don't maybe not want to do this in a meditation hall or zendo, but if you want to experiment at home, if you want to really find out where is this plumb line, so that what you're doing, because you're elevating your hips, that actually puts the spine in good alignment so that the discs stack up evenly on top of one another. They're not crunching forward or crunching back, which causes disc herniation if you either press them forward or back. So you don't want to sway back, and you also don't want to slump. So to get those all stacked up evenly, you sit on a cushion with the knees below the hips. And if you're sitting in a chair, you're sitting like everybody is, with sort of at the edge, or at least well seated in the chair, and even with a back cushion if you need that, so that you can keep your back open instead of slumping forward. If you don't have the back cushion, you may need to have one for a while. so that you get that posture. And then letting all the discs stack up and finding the plumb line all the way from the tail to where the last cervical vertebrae enters. Sometimes it's helpful to find the place where you were a baby. When you were a baby was open, the fontanelle. And there were two of them, but we're just interested in the forward one. So that's sort of the plumb line. It grows in by the time you're 2 years old, but it leaves a little kind of a indentation that you can still feel. And if you can't feel that, that's fine. It's pretty obvious to most people. And it's also, if you press your fingernail down there, it's a little sensitive there. Even if you're old, like I am, you can still feel that place that you had when you were a baby. That might help you. And if you feel like your chin needs to be just like not down like that, but just a little bit down. And we often have the habit, because we're trained to put your shoulders square and put your chin up, you know, that we keep sit with our chin ups. But your chin needs to be a little bit down. And to help you do that, you could just grab a little bit of hair in the back of your head and just gently pull your neck up. Or if you don't have hair, you can, which also, but it also works. Some people, it works better even if they do have hair, to put your four fingers on your occipital bones. Those are those big bones behind your ears, the kind of the big ones. And then just gently press your neck up and then let it relax. And then your shoulders will have raised a little bit, so you may want to do the little shoulder roll again. And but this is just, you know, just to experiment. The main thing is that you feel at ease and you feel like you can sit comfortably without either, and alertly, to let that, so that we can let go. This also helps to let go of thinking. We become really more in our bodies when we get in this kind of a posture. So then we can, as Dogen says, you know, sit comfortably and enter the Dharma gate of bliss and repose and think not thinking. So that's letting the, in my interpretation, it's letting the thoughts flow through so that everything else can flow through too, and we're not just fixated on the thoughts, which we do tend to be when our heads are forward or we're leaning forward in it, you know, and that kind of. And if we lean back too much, like if you really need a cushion behind your back, and you lean back too much, then you get slumped, and that is bad for your lower back. Not only that, but it's. But then you kind of get into this soporific state, which we don't want to do either in Zazen. We want to be at ease. So it's an art to Zazen. It's an art and an embodied practice. Will Johnson, in his book, has these three principles that he goes into, and he also has some little exercises that you can do called alignment. So that's the first part that you get into, and Dogen speaks to that, and then relaxation. Dogen speaks to that as bliss and repose, and then resilience. So knowing where you are, not falling asleep and not latching onto your thoughts. So I'll quote Angie, quoting Coben, is one of my favorite sayings, is don't invite your thoughts in for tea. You know, just the thoughts come and go, but you don't have to really engage with them when they come. So I'll give you this handout after we have some questions or comments or observations. And I want to say, so the first three pages are Fukan Zazenji, and the last page is something I found from a woman named Stephanie, I think it's Nash, who writes a blog on meditation posture, and she's a student of Shinzen Young's, whom I also practice with, who has a very deep Zen practice, and now he mostly teaches in insight practice. But she has, so the last page has some visuals, because that's often helpful for modeling ourselves, to get this sense of proprioception. But her page is all about the do-nots. So I didn't get too much into the Vipassana viewpoints and all of that, because she actually has quite a long blog on it. But it shows you pictures of, you know, when things are out of alignment. So just, you need to have that side of it too. So are there any comments or questions or observations on posture in practice, or anything else that has come up in this evening of Zazen tonight?
Knees. You know, as you do, you know, sashin, like one sit, two sits is okay, but when, you know, here in the afternoon we have four sits after lunch, and by the fourth sit, like the knees are screaming.
Thank you. Thank you very much for bringing in the knees, because the knees are huge. The knees are, they're like, there's our sits bones, which is one point of the triangular, the pyramidal base, and the knees are the others. So usually people in the chairs don't have so much problem with knees, but if you sit on the floor, on the cushions, then supports for the knees are highly recommended at whenever you feel those are necessary. And if that is not working for you, you can sit on with supports under one knee, both knees, whatever you need. And if that's not working for you, then you can sit as Judy's sitting, which is called seiza, sit in seiza. And you can sit on a bench that way, which we don't have anyone doing tonight, or you can sit kind of like what Judy's doing with a zafu, or I think you're using a yoga block. But so you can sit with your knees this way. And I find that alternating sometimes in a sashin gives my knees the ease that they need, so that they can participate in the bliss and the repose. So that's what I have to offer there.
Do you do other things like engaging the muscles, let's say for this falling asleep? I mean, I do that. But I don't know if other people do that and have other tricks that help. You know, rather than just flopping down into a pose because the leg will fall asleep or...
No, I think that's very... Well, there are two things I would say. One is that because if you pay a lot of attention when you sit down, you're less likely to flop into the pose. So all this is getting the axis lined up and adjusting the body and getting the neck really straight and the shoulders really back and the chest, then it's less likely. But if it does happen that you feel something falling asleep, then whatever you need to do with awareness is, whether it's muscular contraction or moving the leg if need be, I do that. If you do it, you know, quietly and with awareness, then that's what you should do. You're taking care of what you need to then.
I'm glad you talked about this. It is very hard for me. I am just starting to sit, and I have old injuries. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to do the whole day thing because I just, most of the time my leg will fall asleep. The chair sitting doesn't necessarily work for me either. So I am constantly working on just the sitting part. But I know that eventually I'll work on other things in my meditation, but it's mostly about just sitting here and trying to, you know, not, lots of times I'm going back like this, I'll realize, you know, it's like, it's crazy. It's a very hard, hard for me to.
No, it is, but you're in the right place because this is about just sitting.
Yeah.
So you don't have to work on anything else here. Everything else takes care of itself. But I will say that one huge help is to get a zafu,
right,
and a zabutan. And I notice you're sitting on a bunch of cushions,
yeah,
which are...
I finally have one.
Do you have one?
I have one for extremely fat people or people who are inflexible.
Is it the zafu?
The zafu with arms, basically. I think it's
trying
to hold your legs a little bit. It does work better. Yeah, it does work better, but it is also a big thing to look around.
I have a zafu that I can bring next time and give you if you want to try just a regular zafu. Have you tried one of those?
I have not. Tried just a regular one.
But
I
these are.
I'm to bring mine. It's just a matter of remembering to bring it.
I'll bring one for you because these are actually tried and true and tested through centuries, and they're used actually the Tibetans have a different way of. They have different cushions, which are square, which are rectangular blocks, which I don't find very comfortable. But you know, people find different things comfortable. But in most other, and of course Asians just can sit on the ground, but we can't do that. Let's just be realistic. You know, we weren't born in countries where from the time we were infants we were sitting on our mother's lap and we were trained as we were eating on the ground, or you know Asian countries, whether it's East Asian or South Asian, or there's a lot of leg crossing that goes on very early, and they can sit, you know, in full lotus often without a problem. But we can't. Even if we've done yoga our whole lives or done, you know, whatever other things we've done, we just didn't grow up that way. So
it's very frustrating because I do a lot of yoga, but this is still the most challenging thing I've done physically. And
have you tried sitting seiza on the cushion?
That's sort of hard on my knees.
Hard on the knees.
No, I do for a little while, but
it is.
Really,
okay. Maybe because
it's flexible.
Yeah, because you're so tall or something.
Yeah, I have tried that, and if I ever do a long sit, I will try that.
Tight on your quads. Is that what it feels like?
It's good for a little while. Maybe it would be good for 40 minutes.
Well, things vary a lot depending on our circumstances and depending on. Actually, at one session for a couple of years, I couldn't sit at all. A chair has never been really ideal for me to sit in. But then, when I had a lot of back trouble, I actually did lying down meditation, and I was used to doing that in another tradition, but then I'm doing Zen with Angie, and I'm going, was that okay? And she said, oh yeah, of course. Koban always said, lie down if you need to. So, and then at a sesshin three years ago, this discussion came up in the sesshin, in the talk, and someone else who was another student of Koban said he actually gave a talk on how to do lying down meditation, but Angie didn't know that one or didn't remember it. So it is all right. The trick with lying down meditation is falling asleep. Mm-hmm. But I have done it at Jikoji, I have done it at Sesshin, and then I go in the back room where I'm not disturbing people, and I can. And so you do that with your knee. You have to get the alignment right in lying down too. You do that with your knees up, and you hold your mudra, and you can tell when you're falling asleep because your mudra starts to kind of fall apart. And hopefully that happens before you start snoring.
Yeah.
But anyway, but Angie, I'm sure, would have more. And Angie's gone through a lot of changes now. She's, because of her hip operation, now she's sitting in a chair, which... So the important thing is to keep sitting, even if it's lying down sitting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's that's. I have a minute to 8, so I'm wondering if we have any announcements, and then we. We'll do our 1 minute sitting after that.
Right. So this Saturday we are going to have an opportunity for a long sit up at Con Batten's in Homestead. Very nice ambiance. And I would like to know how many... I think they're going to go, just to give her an idea how many to cook for.
You can go for part of the day as
right.
as well as, can either come in the morning. I think Angie's giving the Dokusan in the morning.
Dokusan in the morning.
Okay.
Talk
in the
afternoon.
After lunch, which would be,
yeah.
I think lunch ends at 1 o'clock.
It's a beautiful place, even if you just go for one sit, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty, it's like up in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the Santa Cruz Mountains,
yes.
And it's beautiful there lately.
So if you come for, like if I came for the afternoon, is it pretty obvious where to go, or how to, you know, how to get in, or just kind of the front door?
Well, I email the directions and I'll
okay.
do it again. And there is an address on the mailbox.
Okay.
But we'll try to get a sign up there.
There's a main house and there's like a wolf. It looks like it used to be a barn.
Okay.
So it's more in there, not in the main
house.
Oh,
it's not in, okay, that's good.
So don't go to
okay.
the main house.
Okay.
And they're all one room after the other, and you just keep walking, and then we're in one of the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Where
the
rooms.
It's sort of down near the end.
Through the windows.
Okay. Good, thanks.
Right.
And so if you come after lunch, then you won't be, you will have done something else for lunch.
So I have some things for the the setup crew. And then next Tuesday we're going to have a short business meeting after our regular schedule. So it's open to everyone. It's never longer than an hour. And just few things to talk about and vote on. And I share, as treasurer, I share with the intake and outflow of the monies. So you're all welcome to come to that. Angie is at Tal Sahara this week. So
I don't think she went.
You don't think she went?
No, the Sunday she wasn't going. What maybe she did?
Okay. Well, she will be with us Saturday for sure. And next Tuesday also. That's all the announcements I have.
And I don't recall, but we have somebody who is going to open next Tuesday.
We don't yet. I was going to ask. Actually, I was going to ask you if there's any way you could open next week.
I think.
Or maybe you.
Yes, but I don't make those brownies. But
I haven't brought brownies in a while. I'm really behind.
Well, maybe you can open and I'll bring the
problem. Yeah, that would be excellent. You have a key?
I don't.
Okay, I'll give you. I have an extra key. I'll give it to you. Thanks for. I knew that. Actually, Hiseo and Jeffrey and I are all not going to be here. So.
Well,
for different reasons.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, Jeffrey.
Yeah, thank you. Do a 1 minute sitting then.